Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke. Last night, a new revival of one of Arthur Miller's classics, All My Sons, began previews at the American Airlines Theater on 42nd Street in New York City. Roundabout Theater Company's production of the story of the Kellers, a family finding their way in a post-war world and burdened by wartime secrets, is directed by three-time Tony Award winner Jack O'Brien and stars Tracy Letts and Annette Bening as Joe and Kate Keller. Benjamin Walker returns to Broadway and to Roundabout to play their son Chris. A sample of Walker's other stage credits include Patrick Bateman in the musical American Psycho, the title character in Bloody Bloody Andrew Jackson. He played Brick in Cat on a Hot Tin Roof and was in Inherit the Wind and Roundabout's The Liaison Dangereuse. Benjamin Walker, welcome to the Roundtable.
Thank you for having me.
I'm really excited to talk with you about this.
Oh, thanks. I'm excited to talk about it.
It's an American classic. Mm-hmm. What is your, before learning of this particular production, level of familiarity with the script and the show?
Well, this was the play that I read in high school that I thought, man, I hope someday I could play that part.
Specifically Chris.
Yeah. Right. That Death of a Salesman is a masterpiece, but in my opinion, this is the perfect play. And it's exciting because not as many people know it, or a lot of people think they know it. And I think when they come see it, they're going to realize they don't, which is an exciting opportunity.
How are you building your Chris Keller? How are you building the role with your castmates and director?
Well, we've got Jack O'Brien at the helm.
Bit of a legend.
Heard of him. Annette Bening as my mother and Tracy Letts as my father. Kind of my job is just to learn my lines and show up. I wish the play came with a seatbelt because I show up and it just happens. And I'm surrounded by generous, kind professionals, and you can't miss.
The play begins previews on April 4th. As we are speaking, it's mid-March. Where are you in mounting the production right now?
I think by the end of today, we'll be up through Act 2. So we're making quick work of it, actually. But it is a dense play, just getting it on its feet and getting a semblance of what you think you're talking about is really just scratching the surface. So it will take another few weeks to actually get to the meaning of it, the meaning of the affair, that there's a lot to dredge out.
When you say you think by the end of today you'll be through Act 2, what has that meant so far in rehearsing? Are you blocking? Are you on your feet? What's happened so far in the process?
Well, one thing that I love about Jack is that the first week we started with table work. We were not on our feet and we're just going through the play, getting the timeline sorted out, understanding what it meant to be alive in 1947, what the war would have done to your family, what the family's involvement in the war, largely because their family business supplied parts for airplanes in the war. There's a lot of minutiae that you have to parse through and everyone has to get on the same page about. Then, and only then, should you really stand up. So now we're on our feet, we're blocking, and it's starting to breathe in a way.
Your character, I mean, like many characters in many plays, but your character in All My Sons learns a lot as the show goes on. But you, Benjamin Walker, know all of that before the play starts. How do you play the not knowing?
Oh, that's a really interesting question. How do you start the Scottish play and not know where it's going? Right. No, that is part of part of the gig. Mm-hmm. But I definitely think that it's interesting you ask that in relation to this play, because so much about the play is about denial. And that is something that I think everybody can relate to. There are all these truths that we cling to that actually are complete fallacies. And so it's not that much of a stretch to suspend your disbelief, to discover it new every time. And that's another thing I have to give credit to Annette and Tracy, and that it is fresh every time. And there's not a kind of mechanism to it where you are naturally going ahead in your mind because you have seen these steps before. It's new every time, so it's actually kind of easy to forget. I think that's part of the human condition, is that we can forget things.
Lucky us.
Yeah. And not. Right. Which is what the play kind of says or suggests. What are we willing to push to the back of our mind, and at what cost?
So I was thinking about this production, which I obviously it's not up. I've not seen it yet. I can't wait to. But knowing the work of Tracy Letts and Annette Bening, having an idea of what they'll bring to their roles, my heart is pre-broken just thinking about watching them do it. Am I going to be right about that?
I think so. I think you'll also be surprised at how funny it is, because one thing that Arthur Miller does incredibly well, particularly in this play, is the humor, the love, and the joy of a family dynamic. And only when you have that kind of connection is it truly heartbreaking when it is severed. So I think if you're going in looking for Willie Loman, you're going to be pleasantly surprised that it has those components, but at the same time, it's incredibly fast and incredibly funny, and you can only really have a tragic loss when you have a real loving connection. I think that's where comedy lives, right on the edge, and this play has it in spades.
You have also done Tennessee Williams.
Sure.
Arthur Miller, Tennessee Williams, often in a similar paragraph, not that they're the same.
Sure.
How has approaching their works been similar or different for you?
It's like approaching Shakespeare in the sense that there is a size to it. There is, it sounds like a contradiction, but there is a naturalistic size that these people really do think this quickly and feel this passionately. In order for Shakespeare to work, you have to imagine a character that is so moved by love that prose will not suffice. It has to come out in poetry. And that same way of thinking applies to these plays, that they do live on that level all the time. And that's riveting to me.
This also marks a return for you to working with Roundabout.
Sure.
And that was a while ago, 12 years ago-ish?
Good God, is that true?
I think it's about
sure
that.
You're correct. It's been a time, yeah.
So
it's good to be home.
I wondered if you would, really self-analyze and tell me how you've changed as a performer since the last time you worked with Roundabout, if you can. And you can also tell me, I can't do that, that's ridiculous.
No, sure. I've learned a lot. I've had some successes and failures. What's interesting about it is that the places that you return to in life, there's a reason. And the Roundabout is such an anomaly in the artistic world at large that it's an honor to come back to it. And in a lot of ways, I'm approaching it the same way that I did the first time, which is this feeling of gratitude and the opportunity to do this play with these people, particularly in this time in America, at this theater company. It's a dream job.
Could you zoom in a little bit on what you mean about this play applying and
sure.
meaning a lot during this time
sure.
in America?
Some of the issues that the characters in the play deal with are chillingly applicable. I was reading the play, and the news was kind of on droning in the background, and it's chilling. You know, like I was saying earlier, the ability to deny our understanding of ourselves in a community that is isolated and also a global community. At what cost do we help our fellow man? And how do we do it, and should we do it? And particularly with Chris, Chris has just come back from war, where he served in a brotherhood, where they were only as good as they were as a whole. That if my friend next to me does not survive, I don't survive, and we do not move forward. And then he's thrust back into this capitalist dog-eat-dog society, and how do you adjust to that, or should you? And that is alive and well in America today. The reason this play is still poignant is that we're still asking the same questions about ourselves as a country and ourselves as citizens of the world. And family, that is some, you know, a family dynamic. That will endure the end of time.
Yes.
Exactly. How do we get along with mom and dad?
Endlessly complicated.
Yeah, and how do they get along with us?
Right. You know? And what do they think we are and we're doing?
Exactly. And the old ideas and new ideas and the evolution of both is something we'll probably wrestle with till the end.
Did you have to read for this, or did they just ask you to come and do it?
I think I read. I read for Gregory Mosher, who was directing initially, and then luckily Jack said, "Oh, I know Ben. Yeah, let's keep him." So it half and half, actually. It worked out.
Could you tell me a little bit more about working with Jack O'Brien?
Sure. Like you said earlier, he's been around a while, and he's been successful for a long time.
Decades and decades.
Yeah, but what strikes me about him is that he's constantly curious. He surprises me every day in that he never assumes he knows what it is. And ultimately, I know he's just a treasure trove of answers, but he never assumes that. He's willing to truly collaborate and to listen and to say no when you're incorrect and he does have the answer, which is often, but that he's willing to continue to learn. Bob Dylan had that great quote, an artist is in a constant state of becoming, and Jack O'Brien is that to a T. And he's got some great stories. I periodically just try and derail rehearsal just so I can get him to tell me another Jerry Lewis story. You know, I just, tell me, what was that like?
Well, no, I can't imagine. Like, I just read, because the Fosse Verdon show is coming out, I just read Sam Wasson's biography of Bob Fosse, cool. And you're like, it feels to me like a long time ago,
right. But
it really isn't. No. And a lot of those folks are around and like could tell you some stories.
Sure, sure. The other day he was talking about Steve. Like, Steve, and he means Sondheim because, you know, they text.
It's wild.
Speaking of Sondheim, so speaking of musicals, you've often done musical theater.
Yeah.
When you aren't singing, do you miss it, or is it just the job calls for what it calls for?
I grew up in a very musical family. So, and I have a 2-year-old, so I'm constantly singing and we're making up songs. And music is something that enriches life. And then I take the extra step to sometimes use it to pay rent. But I don't think that you can really remove music from life. So why not embrace it and enjoy it and participate?
I am so psyched to have met you and spoken with you today.
Yeah, you
Thank
too.
You so much.
My pleasure. I hope you like the show.